Proverbs chapter 14.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray as we have prayed that you might speak to us this morning. Help us, Lord, to know the truth about raising children. Direct in our lives, Father. I pray, Lord, that we might realize that your word does have the answer for this such a difficult issue. And I pray, Lord, you would give us guidance. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Houston Police Department put out a leaflet several years ago called How to Ruin Your Children. And it was guaranteed 99% effective. Here's what they said. Number one, begin with infancy to give your child everything they want. You know, when your child wants to go to basketball, football, track, cross country, cheerleading, dance, music classes, just go every night of the week. Give them everything they want. Number two, when they pick up bad words, laugh at them. Number three, never give them any spiritual training. Let them wait until they're 21 or 18 anymore and let them decide for themselves. Besides, you should never force your children to go to church. Number four, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop a serious guilt complex in them. Number five, pick up everything they leave lying around so that they will be experienced in throwing off responsibility on everyone else. This came from the police department who looked at children and children getting all messed up. And they said, you know what? If you do these five things, you'll ruin your kids. I wonder this morning, how many people here have children? Raise your hand. If you have children. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you grandparents are seriously involved in raising your kids? Raise your hand. All right, several of you. Any great grandparents doing that? All right. I would bet every parent here today or grandparent would say, you know what? It is really difficult to raise children. It's not easy. It's a real difficult thing. And that's why it's such a shame when you see 14-year-old girls getting pregnant and having children. They have no idea to raise kids. They haven't even been raised themselves. Raising children is very, very difficult. I have watched for 30 years parents come through open door and some who are still here and some who have left. I've watched parents for 30 years. Some parents do good jobs. Some parents do poor jobs. And some parents want to run everywhere thinking that if they find the right spot, somehow that spot will finally fix their child. If you think that Connie and I have done a good job at raising our children, I want you to know it is not because we're any smarter or any better than any other parent here. What we have had is from day one, which some of you parents haven't had. From day one, we were both Christians. From day one, we both agreed that we were going to use God's word as the foundation for raising children. From day one, both of us agreed on how we were going to raise our children. We didn't end up in arguments over punishment. We didn't end up in arguments over how to raise our kids. We sat down, looked at what God's word said, and we agreed that that would be the foundation for raising our kids. And let me tell you, it works. It works. God's word really does work. Imagine that. Imagine that. God's word really works. It does. Now let me say, my kids aren't perfect. They're that close. No. They're not perfect kids. But God's word, if you follow it, will work. Now, what I am going to tell you this morning is not a 100% ironclad guarantee. The truths in Proverbs were general principles of truth. You will sometimes find some exceptions because they were not ironclad guarantees, but they were statements of truth of the way the life works. Realize in raising your children have their own heart, they have their own decision-making process, and you can do everything right, and your children can reject it. But here's what I would tell you. As I raised my kids, I wanted everything in my favor. What we find in Proverbs is not the exception to the rule, but the general truth of the rule. In other words, if you do what's in Proverbs, more times than not, far more times than not, if you listen to God's word, it clearly does work. Now, this morning, we're going to kind of stick with the book of Proverbs, so there's other issues I'm not going to get into this morning. We don't have time to do it. But what I'm going to do is give you the foundation for raising children, whether you are a parent or a grandparent. I want to give you the foundation for raising kids. And they're found in Proverbs. And the first one I want to give you this morning, is... I don't want to say one's more important than another, but I'm going to. If I could tell you anything this morning, this one's by far more important than anything I could tell you this morning or anything else I could tell you about raising kids. This is the most important thing you need to learn about raising children. So here it is, number one. You must be righteous before your children. You must be righteous before your children. I'll say it this way. When you look at your kids, you need to be able to say to your kids, when you grow up, I want you to be like me. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, that's arrogant. No, it is not. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you should be able to say the same thing to your children. You should be able to say to your children, look, follow me. Why? Because I'm following Christ. You ought not to turn to your children and say, look, I want you to grow up to be like this, but I'm not like this. What does that say to your kids? You want your kids to grow up and you want to be able to say to them all the time, what I want you to do when you grow up is I want you to be like me, not perfect, but I want you to be like me because I'm following Christ. And if you grow up to be like me, following Christ, man, you'll make me so proud. How do you do that? You do that by living righteously before them. You do that by living what God wants you to live out daily in your life. I think one of the greatest reasons why children turn out bad is because they look at their parents and they say, you know what, they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I see them at church and they live one way, and when they go home on Monday, they live totally different. When they're in church, they sit with their husband or they sit with their wife, and man, they got their arms around their shoulder and they look like the best marriage in the world. Then we go home and they're fighting all the time. They live righteously at church, but when they come home, they lie. When they're on their phone, they're not honest. Live righteously before your children. Let me show you that in the book of Proverbs, and I'll explain it. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. In other words, if you're living your life in such a way that you fear God, then your children will have a refuge in your family, in your home. Why? Because you are living the way that God wants you to live. To fear God means that you love God, you have an awesome respect for who God is, and you are obedient to God. I could say much more about that, but that's some of the basics of it. You're deeply in love with God. Refuge means a place of safety. Turn over to chapter 20. Verse 7. The righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. The children of the righteous are blessed by God. The children of the righteous live in a place of blessing because their parents are doing and living the way that God wants them to live. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to live the way that God wants you to live, in the center of God's will, and not just living in the center of God's will, but loving living in the center of God's will. One of the jobs the pastor has is that of remembering by teaching, or causing you to remember by teaching things that you've heard before but maybe have forgotten, or maybe for the first time. I want you to write down three words. Word number one is instruction. Instruction. Underneath that, write down word number two. Word number two is influence. Now, underneath that, write down word number three. It's the word image. I don't care if you're a parent or a grandparent that's deeply involved with your grandkids. Now, behind the word instruction, write the words, what you say. Instruction is what you say. Behind the word influence, write what you do. And behind the word image, write what you are. Let me say this to you. Most parents think the way to raise kids is to tell them what to do. Most parents think that if you tell your children enough, with as much passion as you possibly can, and just keep telling them and telling them and telling them, you're going to raise great kids. You will not. Now, instructing your children is very important. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But instruction is not the most important thing. It's a very important thing, but not the most important thing. Influence is what you do. Your children will listen far more to what you do over what you say. In fact, many parents say this to their kids: don't do as I do as I say. What are you saying? I don't want you to grow up like me. I want you to grow up like something else. So don't do what I do what I say. You know what your children are going to do? They're going to do what you do. In fact, if you're shy, your children are probably shy. If you're outgoing, your kids are probably outgoing. You know, there's certain habits in life that, I mean, you know the old saying, the apple don't far fall from the tree? It doesn't. And everyone knows it. So it is very important what you do before your children, and what you do before your children needs to be real and not phony and made up, but it needs to be real. For example, parents who send their children to church are teaching their children that church isn't important. Bring your children to church. Do by example. You say to your kids, go to church. Well, how about you, mom and dad? Well, I don't need to go. I'm too busy. Number three. Who you are. Who you are. Person that you are, your character, your deep down in you, who you are, your image, has far greater impact on your children than anything else. So if you wrote them down instruction, influence, image. If you have room to the left of that, I would make an arrow going up, going from image to instruction, because what it says is that that's the way we raise children. It begins with who we are, it goes to our influence, what we do, and then it goes to our instruction, what we say. Let me explain that out. You can tell your children that they need to love God, but there's a much greater chance that they're going to love God if they see it in you. I mean, love God, not just say it. If you want your children to grow up and have a proper marriage, show to them in your actions and who you are and love your spouse. In fact, guys, we know the Bible says if we don't love our spouse the way we ought, God's not even going to listen to our prayers. If you want your children to love church, you love church. Don't say, oh, man, I got to go to church tonight. Oh, you know, man, I'm just going to sleep in. Don't tell your kids they ought to read the Bible. Love reading the Bible. Love digging into God's Word and learning truths from God's Word and spending time. Let your kids see you. Not because you're trying to do, but just because it's real. Let them find you reading your Bible at lunch. Let them find you reading your Bible sitting somewhere in the room. Let them find you that when you're dead tired and you really just don't want to do anything, because you love the Word of God, let them see you somewhere in your house or in the backyard or somewhere just digging into the Word of God. Let them see it in your life. It begins with your character. If we're going to show our children what it means to live the Christian life, then they need to see it in our lives. When it's hard to go to church, we go anyway. When it's hard to read our Bible, we read it anyway. When it's hard to pray, we do it anyway. We do those things because we love God. When it's time to do things or serve the Lord, or we're too busy doing things at home and too busy living our life, show your kids you're willing to sacrifice to serve God and come over to the church and maybe cut the grass or pull the weeds or do what needs to be done, or go out on an event as we do it, or get really involved in an event that we do. Show your kids that living for God and serving God is something that you love to do. Connie and I made sure that as we raised our children, there was one thing that our kids would never do. And we've seen a lot of pastors' kids. We made sure that our kids would never grow up hating church because of church members. Because, you know, in some churches, they have roast pastor for dinner. They come home not talking about Sunday's sermon. They go home talking about the pastor. You might say, well, pastor, nobody in this church would ever talk about you. Well, let me tell you, in 30 years of pastoring, I've been talked about. And some of it, maybe it's been real. Maybe a lot of it's been true. But we decided we would raise our kids in such a way that I wouldn't spend so much time at church, my kids would hate church. I would make sure that I spend time with my family. I would want to make sure that as we went through church issues and dealt with church things, that we were going to tell our kids, look, we got to love this church, and we do love this church, and we would do things around our home to show that we love this church. In fact, if you've been to my home, and if you haven't, let me know, because we want you in our home. We have a fish tank in our home, an aquarium, saltwater reef tank. It's not as big as Martin's, but it's a nice one. And you should see his new one. It's 230-some gallons. Maritza gets in and swims around in it. We have an aquarium in our tank. We made it very clear that the aquarium in our tank is a result of the giving of this church, because we took money that we got one time at Pastor Appreciation Month, and we bought that aquarium. So we made sure that our family knew, look, we have this because the church gave it to us. And we do that with plenty of other things around our home because we didn't want our kids to raise like so many other pastors' kids who hate church and hate God. And you might think, well, you know what, pastor, it's easier for you to raise your kids than it is for us to raise our kids. I want you to know, it's not. We face all the same issues that you face. But when you can turn to your children and say, look, I love God and I want you to love God. You have to live what you want your kids to become before them. Let me talk about that for a moment. In many homes, you know who wants that to happen? Mom wants that to happen. You know what? She's trying to drag dad kicking and screaming to get to that spot. And if that's true in your home, that's a sad story for you men. And I would ask you men, when are you going to get your life right? You going to wait until your kids are grown and gone? Some of you, maybe you're single moms, or maybe you don't have husbands who are even saved. Well, then you got to do a little more work and got to work a little bit harder. Some of you maybe were not saved when your children were born. So maybe you got to deal with some things that you didn't have at first when your kids, and you might look back and say, boy, I wish I was saved when my kids were born. I understand all that, but let me say this. Whenever you look back on and you look at your mistakes and your difficulties, and I want you to know I made plenty of mistakes. There's one thing I always learned about raising kids, and it's this. Can't do nothing about yesterday. Yesterday is over and gone. But I can do something about today. And if I didn't do what I should have did yesterday, you know what? I can start doing what I need to do today. And I can turn and I can look at my children. And I can say to my kids, you know what? I was not what I should have been. And I apologize for that. But I want you to know from this day on, I may make some mistakes, but from this day on, I want you to know my life is going to be lived in the center of God's will, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I want you to know I am in love with God. And I'm going to start following Jesus, and I hope you will follow Jesus as I do. I want you to know when you live that way, you can have an impact on your children. And I want you to know when you say, when my children aren't turning out right and it's because of their friends, I want you to know, mom and dad, you have a far greater impact on your children than their friends do if you're willing to take it. Live the way that you want your kids to live. Live righteously before them. Be what God wants you to be. And you're going to have a gigantic impact on your children. Number two, you must teach your children. So if you go back and look at the list, it's not like instruction isn't that important. It's like it's extremely important, but then influence is even more important and image is even more important. But you got to instruct your children. You got to teach them about your life and about life and teach them about the Word of God and teach them where they need to go and how they need to live. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Actually, let's start in verse 8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Verse 10, my son. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the father's instruction. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son. Chapter 6, verse 1. My son. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son. And if you go all the way over to chapter 31, verse 1, you'll find it is a mother teaching her son about marriage. So the book of Proverbs mostly is a father teaching his son, but it is also a mother teaching her son. What do we teach our kids? You know, it's sad when we teach our kids more about sports than we do about God. It's sad when we show our children by example that we would never miss a game, but we would be willing to miss church. It is sad that we show our children by example that we would never miss a TV show, but church isn't as important. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me show you the passage that we use to teach our children, form the basis of everything I believe about raising kids as far as teaching. Connie and I never had a devotional time on a regular basis, like I know some families have. I think there's a better way, although I don't knock that way, I just really think there's another way to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Take God, and love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Love God. Put it on your heart. Take the commandments I'm going to teach them and pound them into your heart. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be funnels between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Notice. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. In other words, as you live life, teach your kids to love God. And all the truths and all the principles of the Word of God. I loved going hunting with my son. I loved going fishing with my son. And I never, ever missed an opportunity to look up at the sky or look at an animal along the road or along the lake or in the woods. And I never missed the opportunity to tell him, look, this all was created by God and not an accident. And you're no accident. God has a purpose for your life. We did that with both of our children. Every moment, every opportunity, looking for opportunities to teach your kid about God. Because that's the way that you live your life. Be righteous before your children. Teach your children. And don't put up number 3. You'll get number 3 next week. Because we're out of time. Let's pray. Father, help us to realize, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's many books that have been written, and people run to and fro looking for wisdom. But the wisdom is to obey you and to keep your commands and to fear you. For one day we shall stand before you and be judged. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find in your word. And I thank you, Lord, it doesn't matter how smart we are. Doesn't matter how good we are. What really matters is that we follow your word. Because your word will make us totally equipped, perfectly equipped, completely equipped, competent to do every good work, even that of raising children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take a morning offering.